Our second lesson comes to us from Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. Listen now to the word of God. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to God's holy people in Colossae, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God the Father for our Lord Jesus Christ when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all God's people, the faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven, and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who has also told us of your love in the Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. If, hypothetically, the world were to end and everything was lost and all of our knowledge gone, how would you tell the next set of people the most important information you know in the fewest possible words? What would be your sentence? Well, my wife Jessie and I were on our way back from the Indiana Dunes National Lecture last Saturday when we first heard this question as presented by the podcast Radiolab. Throughout this episode, which is called the Cataclysm Sentence, the podcast hosts interview several people in different fields, such as artists, writers, philosophers, historians, chefs, and musicians, in an attempt to find out what will be that one sentence they would like to share with the future generations and use as their cornerstone for their new society. Their answers addressed important topics like death, fear, natural balance, race, atomic particles, how to make musical instruments like the piano or the Middle Eastern oud. And of course, there was an answer regarding God and how our imagination is very helpful when trying to describe God. Nevertheless, there was one specific answer that truly caught me by surprise. American animator, director, and screenwriter Rebecca Sugar simply replied that humans have really loved being here. You know, leave behind your nest and evidence of how you were in it with the people that you love. That humans have really loved being here. You know, leave behind your nest and evidence on how you were in it with the people that you loved. When I first tried to answer this cataclysm question, I thought about several theological phrases or philosophical approaches that have been super helpful in my life. Then, I thought about something more practical that all people could actually understand, like maybe instructions on how to light a fire. And finally, I became frustrated and could not come up with anything that was worth sharing, so I tried to stop thinking about it. But here's the thing, I could not stop thinking about it. This cataclysm question kept resurfacing with powerful waves. It kept driving my thoughts during the day and bringing up mixed emotions at unexpected times. For this is a heavy question, especially during these uncertain times. It requires deep reflection about our lives and what we value the most. It makes us think of the many ways and many things that we have learned, and then we choose that which is the most important for us. It points our attention to the future while also examining what we are doing today to make that future actually happen. And that is no easy task. But I think what makes this cataclysm question even more difficult are two serious things. First, perhaps some of us cannot find an answer because of our fear of thinking that we don't have anything to share, that nothing is worth sharing. And secondly, For many of us right now, this question may not be so hypothetical, but a reality that cannot be avoided, a dilemma that is currently being faced by many. So how will you tell the next set of people the most important information you know in the fewest possible words? What would be your sentence? After hearing Rebecca Sugar's response, my priorities began to shift as I was trying to find answers for myself. Instead of trying to write a really long run-on sentence explaining a topic or a thing or an activity that I value, I realized that I should have been explaining how much I have loved being here on this earth, how much I have loved the communities that I have been a part of, how much I have loved the church that has raised me and molded me, how much I have loved my family and friends, even if I don't get to see them often, how much I have loved my wife and my dog, especially during these times of a pandemic, how much I have loved God because God has loved me first. So I think this cataclysm question, while being extremely complicated by nature, provides us with an opportunity to really reflect on our priorities and what matters the most in our lives. It shakes the foundations of that which we believe to be essential, reminding us that life is indeed a gift from God, that love transcends beyond time and space, and that even when the world seems to be falling apart, God's still here with us. Therefore, I think my personal response to this cataclysm question would be something like this. Leave a trace of how you have loved that which you hold precious in your life. Leave a trace of how you have loved God's creation, how you have loved God's people, how you have loved God Himself. Yes, leave a trace of your love. In our New Testament passage for this morning, we hear of a church that was certainly leaving a trace of their love for God and for the neighbor. The Apostle Paul writes to the church in Colossae primarily to address some theological concerns about the authority and divinity of Jesus Christ. The issue within this church in Colossae was found in some members following some false teachings and therefore misleading others, thereby causing divisions among themselves. As a consequence, it is in this letter that the Apostle Paul develops his most profound Christological theology, as he defends and establishes that Jesus is indeed the Christ, the Son of God. But even despite these severe difficulties within this church in Colossae, the Apostle Paul acknowledges that this imperfect community continued to be the church. They continue the good work of welcoming and serving all God's people. Even with all their differences and inevitable clashes, the people from this community continue to remain faithful to the truth that they knew in Jesus Christ, to the hope that they had in God's promises, and continue to be loving to every person because they knew that the Holy Spirit dwells within and each of every one of us. This church was moving forward into an uncertain future, but they were walking by faith, together, leaving a trace of God's love, and so their good work was noticed by many and echoed by many more. I believe this church in Colossae serves us as an example of how we, the church of today, can continue the good work of the gospel despite the turbulent times that we may be experiencing. This church is a reminder that we can work together and be faithful to what God has entrusted us, even when we envision different futures. We just have to listen and let the Holy Spirit use us. We just have to let this fire within us burn outside and spread to every corner of the human condition. So with that in mind, how would you tell the next set of people the most important information you know in the fewest possible words? What would be your sentence? I think the church in Colossae answers this question with another question. What story are you telling the world For them, there were two choices. The story, a story of anger, divisions, and fear, or a story of faith, justice, and love. And they chose wisely. Dear Second Presbyterian Church, I had heard stories about you before coming here as a leg fellow. Of course, good and faithful stories. I had heard about your faithful work within the city of Indianapolis through your various ministries, such as the Northside Food Pantry, Christmas Benevolence, Family Promise, the Greenbrier School Partnership, the Summer and Fall Sales, and the Splendid Community Concerts. But I had also heard about your commitment to welcoming all and loving all of God's people, your efforts in creating a more inclusive community, your compassionate care for members and non-members, and your vision of loving those who are strangers like your friends. Yes, I had heard about your faith and your love, and so I couldn't say no when you offered me the great opportunity to come and serve God with you here in Indianapolis, to learn from your wisdom and your passions, and to walk, at least for a little while, this journey of faith alongside you. And so for the last 2 years, you have welcomed me and my family. You have treated us with such kindness and deep hospitality. You have invited us into your homes to share meals, and you have set a place for us at your tables. You have celebrated my gifts and passions for ministry. We have hoped together. We have rejoiced together. We have cried together. We have prayed together. And I have truly enjoyed every single part of that. So I hope that you get to see the trace that I leave behind of all the love and gratitude that I have for all of you. But I also acknowledge that we have reached the end of our time together. This is like Fellow Sunday. We have to go our separate ways, but you must go on into the promised land. Similarly to what Moses was experiencing when he climbed up to Mount Nebo, this morning I stand from this pulpit and I see the vastness of God's promises. I see God's faithfulness and God's love right here and beyond these walls. I see a land that is filled with possibilities as we continue to plan for our next fruitful harvest. I see a sanctuary, not empty, but sent out into the world, spreading glimpses of goodness, healing that which is broken, and caring for those who are destitute. And most importantly, I see a community of faith that is committed to truly loving each other because they love God above all things. I will not be here when you come back into the sanctuary and fill the pews. I will not witness when you finally enjoy the blessings that come when we gather all together in a physical space. I will not be here to harvest the good fruits that we have planted together, and that is okay. That is okay because in a couple of months, you will be welcoming two new leg fellows who will continue the good work that has already started here in this church. Like Joshua, these leg fellows will offer their gifts and support as you go on into the future that God has already established for you. And remember, the Holy Spirit will also be with you as you wait. On this Pentecost Sunday, we are reminded that we have never been and will never be alone. We are all connected with each other. God is with us even when we are apart, and the Holy Spirit continues to equip us and guide us with fire and truth as we serve a broken world. So you must keep waiting for God's promises. You must keep trusting that the goodness you create today will be shared tomorrow, that the love you show today will be also shown tomorrow, and that the faithfulness you express today will be also proclaimed and echoed tomorrow. You must trust and wait. And so the only thing I can say to you this morning, beloved Second Presbyterian Church, is the following. In my prayers, I always give thanks to God for you, for I have heard and witnessed your faith in Jesus Christ and of the love that you have for all God's people because of the hope in which you believe. Alleluia. Amen.